A reflection for Sunday, the 10th of July 2022, the fourth Sunday after Trinity, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. A man and his wife were awakened at 3 a.m. by a loud pounding on the door. The man gets up and goes to the door, where a drunken stranger standing in the pouring rain is asking for a push. "Not a chance," says the husband. "It's 3 a.m. He slams the door and returns to bed. "Who was that?" asks his wife. "Oh, just some drunk guy asking for a push," the man answers. "Did you help him?" she asks. "No, I didn't. It's 3 a.m. and it's pouring rain out there." "Well, you have a short memory," says his wife. "Can't you remember about 3 months ago when we broke down and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him and you should be ashamed of yourself." The man does as he's told, gets dressed and goes out into the pouring rain. He calls out into the dark, "Hello, are you still there?"
"Yes," comes back the answer.
"Do you still need a push?" calls out the husband.
"Yes, please,"
comes the reply from the dark.
"Where are you?"
asks the husband.
"Over here on the swing," replies the drunk.
It's a typical three-part story with stock characters. The wife, the husband, the drunk. The story of the Good Samaritan is structured very like a joke. And like a joke, the people here aren't given names, they're given labels. We have the lawyer who tests Jesus. And in the story Jesus tells, as well as the basic character, the man, the main characters are the priest, the Levite, and of course, the Samaritan. The lawyer first. If someone tells you they're a lawyer, I wonder how you react. How do you label lawyers? Possibly rather unfairly? You can probably think of lawyer jokes without having to break sweat. Well, in Luke's Gospel, you might say the lawyer conforms to the stereotype. He cross-examines Jesus. He wants to test him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He and Jesus agree on the answer. Total love for God and for our neighbours. But the lawyer doesn't know when to stop talking. He wants to tie things down a bit more, set the boundaries a bit more clearly. How do you define neighbour? He asks. And that provokes Jesus' story. So we can, if we think about it, feel a bit sniffy about the lawyer. You can imagine the disciples around Jesus prickling a bit while all this was going on. "Come on, sunshine, you asked your question, the master's given you a good answer, now be on your way, leave it, you're just showing off now." But actually, even if the lawyer was asking only for effect, he's got a good point. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. But how does that actually work? It's a bit like saying to the England rugby team at the moment, just play better than the other team. That's easy to understand, but actually doing it, apparently, is not that simple. So by asking who is my neighbour, the lawyer isn't being as picky as we might think, or going for a cheap effect. Jesus, the disciples, the lawyer, the crowds, everyone involved, was living in a society where religious laws interacted with social customs and traditions, with notions of family and hospitality, of honour and shame, to produce a complicated world of do's and don'ts. It's easy for us to overlook this, just as it's easy to forget how radical Jesus could be, even by doing something that we might take for granted. Talking to a woman by herself at a well, touching someone with an illness, letting Martha's sister Mary sit at his feet like a male disciple. In a world full of taboos, the lawyer asks a pretty good question. Who is my neighbour? And Jesus answers him with the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan is a label we take for granted. Aren't all Samaritans good? But for Jesus' audience, it would be deeply, deeply shocking. Jews and Samaritans really hated each other. Samaritans were traitors. They were non-Jews. To your average first century Judean, a good Samaritan would be a contradiction in terms, like a peaceful terrorist or a cheap Rolls-Royce. While the Good Samaritan is the unlikely hero of the story, we should also think about the other two characters, the priest and the Levite. We're horrified by them, aren't we? Because they walked on by. How terrible! How could they? On one level, Jesus tells the story to show that religious rules can sometimes get in the way of doing what God actually wants. Both the priest and the Levite were going up to Jerusalem, presumably to perform their duties at the temple, which was a big event in both of their lives. Touching what might well have been a dead body by the roadside would have rendered them ritually unclean and prevented them from carrying out their religious tasks, the most important thing to them. What could be higher than the worship of God? Now, in our 21st century setting, we can see that none of their religious reasons that both their figures would have struggled with. All we can see is the neglect of a vulnerable person in need. But before we feel too superior, we might ask ourselves whether we, enlightened modern people that we are, have done any better. I came across a rather chilling story from the US. In April 2010, New Yorkers were shocked after at least 25 people walked past a homeless man bleeding to death in the street and failed to come to his assistance. Footage of the death of Hugo Talayax, a Guatemalan aged 31, was captured on CCTV cameras in Queens. The video showed pedestrians walking and cycling past the man during more than an hour as he lay in a pool of blood on the pavement. And the CCTV footage showed that several people walked by. They looked down at Hugo, but failed to stop. At one point, the footage shows somebody taking a picture of him on their mobile phone. And it wasn't until more than an hour after he'd collapsed that emergency services were called. What makes that even worse is it looked like Hugo was himself attacked as he acted as a good Samaritan, coming to the rescue of a woman who was being attacked, but himself being stabbed as a result. That's a depressing story. The Guardian newspaper website asked its readers if they would stop in similar circumstances. The answers were very interesting. Probably two-thirds of the people who replied said that they wouldn't. Most of them gave the same reason: fear. If you see someone lying down apparently injured, how do you know if he really needs help? He might be a mugger waiting to trick you. He might be drunk or on drugs and might turn violent. It might not be safe to linger there. It's horrible, but it's safer not to get involved. And that made me think, the Good Samaritan story has become maybe too comfortable with us. We know it too well. It loses its power to change us. In our villages, we tend to know our neighbours. We can help them. They can help us. The other year, I managed to lock myself out of my house. I could see my keys through the letterbox on the hall table. I tried everything I could to reach them. I pushed my arm through the letterbox as far as it would go, which is quite a long way. I ended up using a branch I found in the garden, and I managed to get the keys near to the door. Half an hour later, I was still locked out. Several people had walked past during this time without commenting on the sight of a grown man desperately trying to break into a house. So much for neighbourhood watch. But finally, my opposite neighbour Tom came out, and using a handy gadget he had in his garage, because Tom has everything in his garage, I finally retrieved my key. We probably all have similar stories, and we can hear good stories from our villages of neighbours helping each other when things go wrong. But Jesus expands the concept of neighbourliness. Stopping to help a wounded man was a risk for anyone in bandit country, never mind the religious purity laws. Stopping to help a Jew when you're a Samaritan in bandit country was even worse. If people saw the two of you together and found out who you were, they might assume you'd attacked him yourself. Stopping, helping, taking the wounded man to an inn, all these were huge risks for the Samaritan. The kind of risks that would probably be too much for me if I'd been there. Every time we step out, we do take a risk. The lawyer wanted to know where our boundaries should lie. And it's the same question that we ask ourselves in many practical situations. What should I do? Jesus' answer, go and do likewise, is radical, and it's uncomfortable, and it's meant to be. Jesus' answer means stepping outside of any safety zones that our status and privilege may give us. It means refusing to be exclusive, refusing to hide behind rules if those rules cut people off from God's love. The lawyer asks Jesus his questions as Jesus is travelling from the safety of Galilee to Jerusalem, where he knows that he will face suffering and death. But that's the sort of faith, that reaching out faith, that Jesus calls us to follow. The Good Samaritan provides us with a handy label, a way to remember that this is what the good fruit, the good works that Colossians talks about, what this might look like in practice. Sometimes we get it right. Thank God for all the good stories as well, for the times we ourselves have stopped and helped. Thank God for the work of all those who go onto the streets and try to help people, for street pastors, for homeless charities, for the modern Samaritans on the end of the phone. Thank God for those who've stepped out to help people in need coming from Ukraine and from many other places. I know that there's a lot of the priest and the Levite in my own makeup. But I also know that I'm called to follow Jesus beyond my own neighbourhood, my own comfort zone, because in the end, stepping out is the only journey that will lead me into life, life in all its fullness. To close with, a short prayer for such a journey. You are called to follow Jesus closely. With him, you will take the road up to Jerusalem, the city of suffering and glorification. With him, you will give everything that the kingdom may come. On this road, you are called to be the least of all and not master, to carry other people's burdens and not lay your own on them, to give freedom instead of taking it, to grow poor in order to make others rich, to take the cross upon yourself, thus bringing joy to others, to die in order that others may live. This is the mystery of the gospel. And there is no purpose in endless talk about it. Be silent, for it will be true and genuine only if you practice it. So keep Jesus Christ before your eyes. Don't hesitate to go anywhere he leads you. Don't stay where you are. And don't look back, but look forward with eagerness to what lies ahead. Amen.